Good morning, everybody. This is Lenny Lawson, the car guru. Glad to be with you this morning. I do want to jump right in because I've got a lot to talk about. I want to talk about, well, really, this conversation is basically for any of those of you out there who don't know a lot about cars and really don't care to know a lot about cars. You know, maybe because you're just totally disinterested. Maybe you don't drive a car. Maybe you don't even own one, but most of you do. And there are certain basic fundamental things you need to know. You know, you may have a person in your household that is totally on top of all your vehicle needs. Maybe your wife, maybe your husband, grandparent, uncle, child, could be anybody. But you got to have that person who is watching over the fleet. Now, you know, your fleet may just be one car. And is probably especially more important if you just have one car that you make sure that it's ready to go when you need it. And you want to know, what are the basics? What do I need to pay attention to? I'm going to tell you that. I'm going to explain a few things to you about your car that you may or may not know. Some of this may be a reminder, and some of it may be brand new or just old hat. But I'm going to say it anyway because I believe that is my obligation as a car guru to occasionally talk about the simple things. So we are going to do that. I brought my F-150 in yesterday, and I didn't have a scheduled appointment. I just drove right into my service drive. And of course, when you drive in the service drive at Gateway, we have a Hunter measuring system that automatically measures your toe in on your vehicle. And that is an alignment measurement. That tells me whether I might have a possible alignment issue. Now, did that cost me anything? No, it didn't. And it's not because I own the place. It's because we don't charge anybody for their alignment check. Because when you drive into our service department, it automatically does that with, I don't know how many lasers. I think there's 38 lasers. That should be enough. And so it measures the alignment, and the service advisor will tell you whether you have an alignment issue or not. And then the alignment machine is just right there in the service drive. I wanted to make it really simple and quick for people who need alignments. Approximately 50% of you are driving on cars or riding cars or driving and riding in cars that need a front-end alignment. So why does that matter? Because a front-end alignment determines how quickly your front tires wear out. And, you know, your front tires are doing a lot on the average front-wheel drive car. They're providing the power to the road. They're doing about 70% of the braking and all of the steering. That's a lot to ask for a set of tires in the front. Therefore, they tend to wear out quicker. And that's why if you own a front-wheel drive car, you need to be certain to rotate your tires every time you get your oil changed. That would be every 5,000 miles is my recommendation. So anyway, we're going to get into that. But I took my vehicle in to have it to have the oil changed. I had about 100 miles to go. And so I pulled up my Ford Pass app, which is an app on my iPhone. If you have an Android, it'll work too. If you have a flip phone, you're out of luck. But right now, I pulled up my Ford Pass app right now, and it gives me the status of my vehicle. I have 67 miles to empty. Now, I'm not sitting in my car. I'm sitting in my office and recording studio here at Gateway Ford. But I'm looking at my app, and it's telling me I've got 9,247 miles on my F-150. I've got 67 miles remaining before I run out of gas. I've got one vehicle status alert, which is basically an update that needs to be done to my vehicle. Pretty soon I'll be getting an update that will allow Blue Cruise to work, which means that my car will have full self-driving capability. Now, am I going to use that? Probably not. I don't have enough confidence in computers to turn my life over to them yet. But anyway, tire pressure monitoring. Let's see what my tire pressures are right now. Okay, I got 38. Well, my shop did a really good job yesterday changing my oil because all four of my tires have the correct cold tire pressure of 35 pounds front and rear. So anyway, that is important to know. Also, oil life. I just had my oil change. So how much oil life should I have left? 100%. That's right. So I have 100% of my oil life remaining. So my little driving around that I did yesterday after my oil change and this morning so far has not depleted my oil any. So that's one of the advantages of having an application on your phone that will keep you updated about your car. I can also start my F-150 from here. I can lock it, unlock it. I can find a dealer. And I also had, I didn't have to pay for my oil change, not because I own the dealership, because I do pay for my oil changes. I like to keep the money flowing for them. And so I had 108,000 points on my Ford Pass app that I had earned. I got a lot of those points when I bought it. And the rest of them, when I bring it in for service, I always earn points when I pay a bill. So 108,000, and that got my tires rotated. It got my oil change, and I can probably get another oil change or two out of that and not have to pay anything. You know, there's a lot of dealerships that offer complimentary maintenance, which is a good thing. Again, I'm 100% advocate for taking your vehicle, especially while it's under warranty, to the dealership where you bought your vehicle or that sells the same brand to have it serviced. It's important to do that. Now, the people who own independent shops, I'm sorry, you do a great job. You probably got cut your teeth at a new car dealership. But most of you use aftermarket filters, which a lot of the independent shops will say, well, they're made at the same place. They're just as good. I know. I've heard those arguments before. You're also going to use the oil that you sell, and you may not use the correct weight of oil for that particular vehicle. And you won't do the multi-point inspection. Now, some of you may, but, you know, all dealerships, well, I'd say 90% of the dealerships do a multi-point inspection of your vehicle. And then the independent guy says, well, they're just doing that so they can sell you stuff. No, they're doing that to cover themselves, because we as a car dealership have a fiduciary responsibility that when somebody leaves in a car that just got serviced at Gateway, that that it's a safe car to drive. Now, let's say that you just got your oil changed at Gateway and your tires rotated and you're going down the road and all of a sudden your check engine light comes on. Whose fault's that? Well, it's probably not the dealership's, but it could be. So you go back, turn around, and you know that check engine light was on when we did the inspection, but nobody noticed it. That's not good. We have a responsibility to our customers to catch everything. And I remind my service techs every day how important, you know, you've got people's lives in your hands. If you let them leave out of here with underinflated tires or with a loose lug nut on a wheel or a loose oil filter or with an oil leak or a transmission leak or a wheel cylinder leak without telling them about it, then, you know, if something happens, they're going down the road. What do you think that lawyer's going to point out, you know, when they sue you? They're going to point, well, I mean, the wheel fell off. Didn't you just have that vehicle serviced? See what I'm saying? So we have a responsibility. It's a big responsibility. We take it seriously at Gateway, and I think most new car dealers do. I think most independent shops do as well. But I just feel like, you know, if you ever have a warranty issue and you've been having it serviced at Joe Blow's emporium of cars, then, you know, they may not take care of you, especially if it's beyond the warranty period. Whereas if you've had it serviced every time in a dealership, then they'll look at that very favorably and they'll say, you know, these people have been good customers. Let's go ahead and pay for the parts and let them pay for the labor. Or that we'll just pay for it all since they've been so good. You know, the dealer will go to battle with you. If he won't, you're at the wrong dealership. You know, sometimes you go to the general manager and he may say, sorry, I can't do anything. But the dealer can. The guy that owns the store, he can move mountains for you if you ask nicely. Now, if you go in there and raise cane and, you know, pitch a fit, as my mom used to say, it makes them not want to help you. Should it be that way? I don't know. I don't think people should pitch a fit. But, you know, sometimes we get mad. We get passionate. We've got ball games to go to and school and ballet lessons and, you know, cross-stitching competitions. We don't want to miss those, and we get angry when they do when we miss them because of our car. But don't take it out on the service advisor because, you know, it's not his fault. But I guarantee it, if you come to Gateway Ford, he'll assume responsibility for it. And he'll say, I'm sorry that happened. Let me see what I can do. Because I always train my people to see what they can do and say what they can do, not what they cannot do. Because customers don't want to hear what you can't do, right? All right, I'm going to take my first break. I'll be back here in just a minute. Okay, so novices out there, those of you who are experienced technicians and stuff, cover your ears or go to the other room. I'm going to talk about some simple things that everybody needs to know. And let's just start, ladies and gentlemen, with the tires. We were talking about that just a few minutes ago, but the air pressure in your tires is important, and you will lose 2 pounds of pressure per month. So, you know, you go 6 months, you've lost 12 pounds of pressure. Your car is not really going to stop as good. It's not going to handle as good, or should I say as well. You're going to be wearing out your tires. All you have to do is stop somewhere, have a little compressor or something. Just check your air pressure once a month. Just put it on your calendar and do it. Get your husband to do it. Get your wife to do it. Get your dog to do it. Somebody needs to do it. That's something you need to check, okay? Oil is the lifeblood of the engine. When you buy a new car, you know, lately I've seen salespeople showing cars to people, they never raise the hood. It's almost like the engine doesn't matter anymore until it blows up. So, you know, you should know how to check your oil. That's the lifeblood of the engine. So tomorrow, get out your owner's manual, pop the hood, and find the dipstick. Make sure you're on level ground, okay? Pull the dipstick out. Don't just pull it out and look at it. Pull it out. Wipe it off first with a rag. Don't use a paper towel. Use a rag. Then stick it back in. Let it sit there. Push it all the way down. And then pull it back out again and look at it. And that's where your oil level is right there. Now, I've seen some vehicles like my Porsche. It's supposed to be warm when you check the oil. Now, most cars are supposed to be cool or, you know, maybe it's okay if they've been sitting for at least 10 minutes. Most of the oil that has been circulating around inside the engine, keeping everything lubricated, has fallen back down into the oil pan. And so that's when your dipstick goes down. It's measuring the level of oil in the oil pan. It's not telling you where, you know, what's up around your valves, lubricating your valve train or your camshaft or crankshaft or anything, because when you stop, you got to give that oil time to settle into the oil pan, and that's when you can check the level. I know that's basic stuff, but still, it's important. Okay, brakes. Let's talk about that real quick. Brakes. If you notice a different feel, if you notice that your brakes seem to be, your brake pedal seems to be going closer to the floor, or you're having to press it a little bit harder, or it's pulsating up and down, you can feel it pushing back when you're stopping. Those are all brake-related issues that need to be addressed. Also, use your ear. If you hear a squealing noise or a jeep, jeep, jeep as your tire rotates, it's very possible that your wear sensors that are on your brake pads are touching the rotor, which is spinning around, or the brake drum itself. And so what happens is when that metal indicator touches the metal of the rotor, then your brake pads are worn out to a level, or they're getting close to where it's going to be a problem. Now, what happens if you leave that, just listen to the squeak and go on? Well, basically, the rest of your brake pad is going to wear down until it gets to the rivets that hold the pad itself together. When it gets to the rivets, and those metal rivets are touching the metal rotor, does that sound like a good combination made in heaven? No. That's metal on metal. That's going to cut those grooves in your rotor. You ever looked inside of a wheel and you see that the rotor looks real groovy, has a lot of little lines in it? Well, you can see some lines. As long as you run your finger across it and it's smooth as silk, then you're good. But if you feel any type of indention, little valleys that have been cut in it, then your pads may be worn out. And if you catch that soon enough, then your brake job goes down by about two-thirds. Because if you have to replace your rotors or get them, well, if you have to get them turned, they can't actually put that on a lathe and turn those rotors and make them all shiny and new again. But there is a point beyond which you cannot do that. And you have to replace the rotors. That's what makes a brake job really expensive. So, again, it's based on what you hear and what you feel. You know, if you feel that pulsation, that means your rotors, those metal things in there, have gotten out around a little bit. They've gotten hot. Lots of times that's caused by using aftermarket brake pads. I'm not using aftermarket brake pads on my car. I'm going to use factory brake pads. I'm going to go, if I'm driving a Ford, I'm going to put Ford factory brake pads on. If I'm driving a Chevrolet or a Volkswagen or whatever. Now, again, the independents and the Napa Autos parts places and Advanced Auto Parts, they don't like it when I say that, but because they'll say, well, they're made in the same place and ours are just as good. Maybe so. But take it from me, OEM is always the best choice. Okay, alignment versus balance. Let's talk about that for a second. So you're going down a road, and all of a sudden you get up to a certain speed and your steering wheel starts shaking. Is that an alignment problem or a balance problem? No, it's not an alignment problem. It's a balance problem. It means you probably have lost a wheel weight. So wheels and tires, you know, you would hope that they would be perfectly round and have the exact amount of metal on one side as they have on the other. If that were the case, we'd never have to have our tires balanced, but that's not the case. We have to have tires balanced, and what they do to balance them is they use a little weight that they either nail on the rim or basically bang it on the rim of the wheel, or they glue it on with two-sided tape. It goes inside the wheel. If you've got expensive wheels, that's what they'll do. Now, if you look close enough on the inside of your wheel, if you've driven a Lexus or something like that, you look inside, you'll find the wheel weight somewhere. They're there. That's how they balance tires. Well, you've probably lost one of those if you've got a vibration in the front. Now, what if you have no vibration in the front, but you feel it in your seat, in your bottom, okay? Then that's more than likely a tire vibration on the rear tires, not the front. Has nothing to do with alignment. So when does alignment come into play? Well, you know, if you hit a really big pothole or something like that, you can literally bend something. You can knock your vehicle out of alignment. And it's just a natural progression of time and pressure and steering and stuff that can make a vehicle alignment change. Also, the wearing out of bushings and stuff in the suspension can cause that. But you need to get that addressed because what it does is it will cause your tires to wear out prematurely. It can affect your rear. You know, we do four-wheel alignments because the rears can be adjusted on a lot of cars if you have an independent rear suspension. Now, if you have a solid axle in the back, meaning that both wheels are connected to one another, then, you know, that's not really adjustable. But the fronts are adjustable. And alignments need to be done once a year. I'm just telling you. Or at least checked. I mean, if you come to Gateway, you just drive across your machine and we'll know. And it doesn't cost you anything. A lot of other dealers, I know Johnson City Honda has a laser system. I think maybe Johnson City Ford does. I don't know how many dealers have them. They're pretty expensive. And a lot of dealers don't want to invest the money in it. But it's a quick way to get your alignment checked. Okay, so alignment is an issue also when you've, like if you're going down a road, let's say you're going down 11E at four lane. You know, all roads are crowned to a certain extent, meaning that if you take your hands off the steering wheel, which you probably shouldn't do, it'll slowly drift to the right because that's the way the road is sloped. But if you let go of the steering wheel and it dramatically goes to the right, or you can feel it tugging all the time, then you've got an alignment issue you need to get solved. What's an alignment cost? About $100, you know, anywhere from $75 to $100 is what it's going to cost. So, it's better than buying a set of tires if you price tires lately. Okay, windshield washer solvent. That's another thing you can check. Just raise your hood, and you'll see the little reservoir there, and it's usually blue. And you don't just put water in there, folks. You need to keep a gallon of windshield washer solvent at your house, and then you won't ever run out when you need. So it's important. That was a quickie, wasn't it? Let's see, tire wear. Okay. Do you know how to tell if your tires are worn out? Well, there are these little ridges that go crossway across the tire. They're in between the tread, and you'll see them. If you, like, turn your wheel to the left in the driveway all the way where you can get out and you can see the tire tread really good. And if you look, and there should be uniform wear across the tire. The tread should not be any deeper on one side than it is on the other. If it's really thin on the inside, then you've got an alignment problem. But if it's even all the way across, and you'll see that, you know, the tread's running vertically, and these little horizontal bars between the tread, those are called tread wear indicators, and they are at 2/32 of an inch or 1/16 of an inch. I think personally that when the tires get down to the, or tire tread gets down to the tread wear indicators, you've gone too long. I think you need to change your tires way before that, because it leads to hydroplaning and just problems, you know, when it's slick or rainy or stuff like that. So I've got more to do, and I'll try to cover a few more right after the break. Okay, the last thing I should probably bring up is just your battery. Now, I'm a firm believer in replacing the battery, whether I need it or not, every 3 years. You know, it depends on weather and stuff like that and how often the car sits. You know, there's nothing worse than a car. You know how a battery gets charged? It's just not a, you know, miracle, and they lose their charge. There is something on your car called an alternator. And when it's spinning around, it's actually charging the battery. And basically, the electrical functions of your vehicle are not running off the battery while you're driving the car. But when you start the car, it's all coming from that battery. And there's something called cold cranking amps. And that's the amount of juice basically going to your starter from your battery. And if that deteriorates over time. And so, you know, every time you go to a dealership, and you're getting your oil changes and stuff like that, get them to check your battery cold cranking amps just to make sure that, I mean, it's going to be down from what it was new. Like your battery may be rated at 300, let's say, and it's down to 250 or something. When it gets much lower than that, then that's when you're going to have that delayed start when you're trying to start it when it's really cold, or especially when it's been sitting for a while. You know, the worst thing in the world for a car is to sit. And if it's going to be sitting for a month or so, just go raise the hood and disconnect your battery. It's not that hard to do. Everybody should know how to do that. Everybody should know how to jump a car off, too. I mean, if you don't know how to do jump start your car, then you need to learn, because there's going to be a time where your cell phone's going to be dead. And if you don't have jumper cables in the back of your car, shame on you. But still, you know, somebody may come along and not have jumper cables, but they're willing to give you a jump. But you got to know how to hook it up, because I've seen people get hurt. And shocked, and actually, if there's a leaking battery, if it's got a crack in it, those battery fumes come out. If there's a spark, the battery can blow up. Doesn't that make you feel warm and fuzzy? Anyway, these are some things. I went through it pretty fast. If you have questions about this kind of stuff, don't hesitate to call me. I'm available, 423-552-2020. You can send me a text and say, hey, you know, I've got this situation with my tires. What should I do? I'll be glad to help you with that. I'm a busy guy, but I always find time for my listeners to help them with those kind of issues. Well, thanks for listening to this edition of My Car Guru, and I will be with you again tomorrow morning.